The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's the fantasy special today. Heath Cummings, Bryant McFadden, both in the same room this time, down in Fort Lauderdale, joining me to talk some fantasy football. What's up, fellas?
Hey, hey, it's a great day to be alive. I just feel, I mean, this is so much better having BMAC here. It'd be better if you were here, Will, too, but we invited BMAC to the party and not you.
That's that's quite all right. Is it an actual party? Because I'm starting to feel a little weird.
It's an actual party. We have food in the studio. It's a lot going on, Will.
Well, what are you I mean, not that I care, but what are you really doing?
You don't care? You just want to know?
I don't care. I'm just curious what's going on, you know, just what's
a lot
going
to celebrate.
There.
I mean, you know, we got an NFL game tomorrow. We got the World Series.
The NBA just started.
NBA, college football. Yeah, we're just celebrating all the quality sporting events we have.
All right, BMAC. Well, if you're going to make fun of me for being at a party, I'm going to ask you what you thought about the Clippers being the best team in Los Angeles last night.
I don't like that question. That's not fair.
I am a little, I don't want to derail this into an NBA talk, but I am a little worried that like, I mean, Jared Dudley both went, they went like 8 of 10 from three and the Lakers lost. They gotta figure out a way to manage the minutes of LeBron and Anthony Davis. Anyway.
Well, Jared Dudley looks like Big Ben. Danny Green gave us 28 and we lost.
Yeah.
And the Clippers are very, very good.
They are.
They're really good.
They didn't even have Paul George.
I know. Yeah. They're a good team.
They're a good team. Do you agree with Ice Cube?
What did he say?
He was tweeting after the game last night and said the Lakers just embarrassed Los Angeles.
They did. Yeah. They did because this was a game that was circled on everybody's calendar.
I mean,
if casual basketball fan, if you play for another organization, I heard Chris Webber, who was calling the Raptors, Pelicans game, yep, saying, I'm going to rush to get to my hotel room to watch the Clippers and the Lakers. And they laid down.
The Clippers also embarrassed LA because they embarrassed the Lakers, you see.
Yeah. It's not right.
Anyway, football show. Devo's like, good Lord, man. He's like, by the way, the Nats. Unbelievable first game by the Nats. I'm a Nats fan. I'm just a Nats fan at this point. I love this team.
I don't see any Nats memorabilia anywhere around you.
Well, you know, it's weird because I'm a Braves fan, so this is a little awkward. But
okay, so you're Drake.
Andy's going to jinx them, so it's perfect.
I bet on the Nats season total over 89, right? Along with three other friends, and on May 23rd, we thought it was dead. They were 19-31, and we thought it was over. And they stormed back from that, made the playoffs, and then made the World Series. And I mean, I got to tell you, along the way, I don't know if I'll like the Nats forever moving forward, but I fell in love with this Nats team along the way. I know everything about this Nats team. I watch tons of Nats games because they're in the market here on Masson. Like I get Masson at my house. And my best friend from college is also a Nat season ticket holder, so I've been to a bunch of games. So I feel like I'm there. I own a Max Scherzer t-shirt, and I have for 3 years, so I feel like I'm there.
That just reminds me, do you owe me some beer?
Do I owe you beer? What happened?
I remember you sending me a message before baseball season asking for my favorite over-under bets for the baseball season, win totals. I don't know if you took my favorite or not.
Well, we went 3 for 3. So I hope we did. Then I owe you some beer. We took the Pirates under, Twins over, and the Nats over.
No, I gave you my favorite, and you didn't really feel comfortable with it because the number was so, so low.
What was it? The Tigers under?
It was the Baltimore Orioles under.
Yeah, that's right. 7,
and it did win. Came in under.
Yeah, I was too worried about that, and the Tigers under. They both came in. Anyway, we're 4 minutes in, and Devo is about to strangle me. This is what he deals with every day, folks. Every day. I try to go off on some crazy tangent. if you've got a good tangent you want us to go off on, or you have a fantasy question, go leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Download, subscribe, and if you leave a 5-star, if you love the show, leave a 5-star review. It really helps us. We're trying to get to, I think, 1,000 is our number. I'm, you know, open and honest about the sad little number we're trying to hit. But if we hit that, I'll get a raise, or at least, you know, get to do this 9 times a week instead. Trade deadline's coming up, and the trade deadline is very interesting for the NFL, Heath, because it, from a fantasy perspective, you, like in the NBA and in fantasy basketball and fantasy baseball, you can kind of monitor the news. And if you work at home as a sports writer, it's a real bonus because you can jump on whatever happens and figure out what to do when a trade happens and who to grab. In football, it's always on a Tuesday at 4 p.m., which means everyone is going to have the same opportunity to claim whatever guy, you know, is the big beneficiary. So the goal here is, let's look at the trades that have already happened with Mohamed Sanu and Emmanuel Sanders and how that impacts it. But B, also, like, who might be some guys, that you would target moving forward? Like, use your crystal ball. Who are some guys you would target that might have an opportunity, based on the trade deadline next week?
Well, I thought the interesting thing this year is that the trade deadline is interesting because generally in the NFL, it's not interesting at all. We don't see important players get traded in the middle of the season. We've already seen two with Mohamed Sanu and Emmanuel Sanders. Now, I'm going to generally be pessimistic about wide receivers changing teams in the middle of the season. There's too many moving parts there. They've got to come in. In some cases, they have to learn a new playbook, a new offense. I don't think Emmanuel Sanders does. He knows what's going on there in San Francisco Kyle Shanahan. But for Mohamed Sanu specifically, he's got to come in and learn the playbook. He's got to earn Tom Brady's trust. He's got to get on the same page in terms of timing and stuff like that. And then his problem is, they've already got 7,000 other guys to throw the football to. So I don't know that Sanu matters so much. That trade matters more to me because of what it frees up for Calvin Ridley, as long as Matt Ryan's okay. The Sanders trade, he could be an interesting number two wide receiver. It just solidifies Cortland Sutton as a stud there in Denver, though.
Do you think it actually – you think it helps Cortland Sutton, Manny Sanders?
I think it solidifies his target share.
Yeah.
Okay. BMAC, how tough is that adjustment, do you think, for these wide receivers moving teams in the middle of the, in the middle of the season? I mean, like, to his point, like, you're basically using the same playbook, Shanahan, Scangarello, whatever. I mean, you know, it comes from the same system, but you're still jumping, you're still trying to get on the same page with a new quarterback. I mean, that's kind of difficult, right?
Yeah, it takes time. And I think, you know, it depends on the situation as far as the team the player is going to. San Francisco for Emmanuel Sanders, I don't think it should be a big issue because, like Heath mentioned, you know, there are some similar things that they ran in Denver. And also, too, that offense is basically, you know, predicated on running the football. You know what I mean? Then transition to the Patriots, we know that's a very, very difficult offense. You know, you're called to run routes a certain type of way, and it's all about time. And so I don't expect to see this trade pay off for the Patriots until probably the month of late November, December. I think this is more so about, you know, November, December football with Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah, or February when he throws a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl, which, you know, he's going to throw a touchdown pass for the Patriots this year.
Yeah.
I guarantee it, and probably in the playoffs. If Mohamed Sanu or Emmanuel Sanders is owned in basically every league, I think. If Mohamed Sanu is a free agent, are you messing with him at all, Heath?
Nah.
Okay. Is there anybody you're contemplating either trading for or adding ahead of the deadline? Like, If the Browns were to get a left tackle, like, I think the Browns are a great buy low, and if they could manage to get a left tackle, I'd be more interested in trying to trade for Nick Chubb, who I think is going to be very expensive anyway. But Baker Mayfield is out there in a lot of leagues now. He's been dropped, and they have a fairly friendly schedule after the bye, as well as, you know, maybe Odell Beckham, who could be a buy low.
Yeah, I could come around on the Browns as buy lows. I think Kenyon Drake, Mark Walton, that combination is interesting. There's some talk that maybe the Lions had made an offer for Kenyon Drake before they put Kerryon Johnson on the IR. Some people wondering if maybe they'll make a better offer now that they've put Kerryon Johnson on the IR. I don't think Ty Johnson's the answer. No. So if Drake were to go to Detroit and land in a spot where he actually got 15 touches per game on an average team, then I would like him as a borderline starting running back. And Walton's kind of taken that backfield over. If you took Drake out of the equation and he got the passing game work as well, even on the Dolphins, he could be a worthwhile flex.
While we're talking about the Dolphins, what do you think about Devontae Parker? He's actually been okay the last few weeks.
He's been okay for fantasy.
Yes.
In terms of yards per route run, I think he's 68th this year. He's really, really, really not improved his efficiency, but we know Ryan Fitzpatrick likes to drop back and chuck it. I think both he and Preston Williams are what I'd call weekly boom or bust flexes. If you look at your roster and you've got a flex spot open and you don't feel good about anyone on your bench, you can plug those guys in and they may boom on a week-to-week basis.
Okay. I'm actually facing a, I don't know if it's a roster crisis. I know we like to talk about our teams on here, but I have DeAndre Hopkins and Michael Thomas as my wide receivers, which I'm perfectly fine with. Good wide receiver combo. however, they have Thomas is a week 9 bye, Hopkins a week 10. My bench is entirely, it's a backup quarterback with Matthew Stafford, and then 4 running backs. Would you drop Frank Gore for Devontae Parker, knowing that starting next week you will need some kind of plug-and-play wide receiver?
You're not going to start Frank Gore.
Exactly. Drop Frank Gore, right?
Drop Frank Gore.
Yeah. Other options out there include, just for people interested. By the way, I saw somebody like ripping on Chris Towers. Or Chris Towers is mad because somebody was complaining that we suggested picking up D.D. Westbrook. Why would somebody be mad about that? Westbrook was dropped in a ton of leagues.
Yeah, people would like certain people in the industry like to throw shade at other people in the industry when they cater to anything other than deep leagues. Mm. Talking about guys that are owned in over half of leagues, that's a point that some people like to use to say you're doing lazy analysis. It's wrong. I mean, like if you're available in half of leagues, and that means half of the people that might be reading this might have the option to go pick that player up.
Right. So
Chris is awesome as always.
Yeah, Chris rules. The other thing too is like for instance, my dad reads you guys on CBS. In fact, he calls you Jamie and Dave the three Mouseketeers.
I like it.
Well, it's not it's disparaging, but he's like your average fantasy person. He only gets mad when you guys actually when you steer him wrong, which is not very often. But and then he's like, oh, these guys told me to start this. I'm like, well, Dad, you gotta ultimately make your own call. But the person who's reading fantasy advice is the person who definitely has these people available in 50%. Like D.D. Westbrook has been dropped, so it's ridiculous by those people to do that. Would you rather have A.J. Brown, Danny Amendola, Robbie Anderson, Devontae Parker, or that can be it?
I'd rather have A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You look at him and Corey Davis, and I like Corey Davis slightly more.
Yes, for sure.
But they have been, but not a lot. They've been almost identical in terms of targets, catches, yards, touchdowns, fantasy points, everything so far this season. And in Ryan Tannehill's first start, A.J. Brown actually got more targets than Corey Davis. Davis was better, and I think Davis is better, but when I prioritized them on waivers this week, because they were available in a lot of my leagues, yep. I would put in $7 bid for Corey Davis and a $6 bid for A.J. Brown.
I think you might have snaked Corey Davis for me in one of our leagues together.
Good.
Yes. BMAC, I'm going to grab A.J. Brown for Frank Gore now. BMAC, now that I used a few minutes to ask Keith about my personal fantasy questions, would you like to ask, have you had any interesting roster decisions you've had to make or issues with any of your teams?
Every week, being part of the fantasy life, you have questions and you guys have helped me out a lot. And this week, I'm in a bit of a pickle. Mm. Not knowing the status of Matt Ryan. Mm. But if Matt Ryan was healthy, would you go Matt Ryan or Kirk Cousins Thursday night against the Redskins?
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't. Here's the thing that I think makes this decision really easy. It's on Thursday. If I knew for sure on Thursday that Matt Ryan was playing, I would choose Matt Ryan.
That's what I'm thinking.
You're not going to know on Thursday. We had a very, very unhelpful quote from Dan Quinn earlier about the status of Matt Ryan that basically said, we're not going to know until later in the week.
Yeah, and I don't have the luxury of waiting.
Right, so you're starting Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. Well, that was right. That was sort of my my thing. And also, Washington is middle of the pack in terms of fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. The last 4 weeks, they are actually pretty good. But I think you have to take into consideration they were playing outdoors in that slop fest against the 49ers. And this is Kirk Cousins' revenge game. We got a triple. This is a triple stack revenge game on Thursday night. Kirk Cousins' revenge game. Case Keenum revenge game, Adrian Peterson revenge game. Everybody's got a revenge game in this
Golden
game.
Golden
Tate revenge game?
Doesn't Golden Tate have a revenge game?
I'm just talking about just on Thursday.
Oh, I'm all sorry. Three of those. I thought you were saying this week.
I was
like, is Golden Tate on the Vikings now? I was like, where have I been?
I thought you were saying this week is revenge week.
That was a good one.
It might be. I was like, wait, is Golden Tate on the Redskins? No, he's not on the Vikings. Adam Thielen, by the way, out for this game. Ruled out. Yeah. Do not start Adam Thielen.
I have Adam Thielen in the same league that I asked the question about quarterbacks, right? So I'm thinking about going Allen Robinson, or if still waiting on the status of Tyrell Williams, they say he should be able to go, but not knowing. So right now, if healthy, Tyrell Williams at or Allen Robinson. What do you guys think?
I love Allen Robinson. Yep. This week and for the rest of the season, his volume has been so consistent. At least 7 catches in 4 out of 6 games, at least 60 yards in 5 out of 6 games, 16 targets in his most recent game. Now, this week, I don't think they'll throw quite as much, but I do love Allen Robinson.
I have a quasi hot take. I think the Bears are going to beat the crap out of the Chargers, and I think Mitchell Trubisky is going to throw for 3 touchdowns.
That'd be great. But if it's at least 1 to Allen Robinson, that's a lot.
I just think this is the game that everyone is bashing Mitchell Trubisky. Everyone thinks he's going to suck this week because he's been terrible. The Chargers aren't good against the pass. The Chargers' offensive line stinks, which means the Bears are going to be able to pin their ears back and get after him. I just think this is a game where it's a bad matchup for Chicago. That line is, people are like, why is it 4.5? Have you seen Mitchell Trubisky play? Matt Nagy will scheme some stuff up. He'll take some shots down the field. I think this is a Mitchell Trubisky game that nobody sees coming.
My only concern with your theory, mm-hmm. and I love the fact that you went from Chargers super fan to like the most anti-Chargers person in America. You hate the Chargers and everything about them. My only concern is the Bears have been one of the most game script dependent teams in the NFL so far this year. And you can see it in their running backs. I tweeted this out earlier today. PPR points per game. In wins, David Montgomery is scoring 11.5 points, Tariq Cohen just 6.2, and barely even touching the football when they win. In losses, Cohen scoring almost 12 PPR points per game, Montgomery just 6.7 and averaging like 10 touches per game. Like, they have gone run heavy when they've had the lead, and I think they're going to have the lead in this game.
No, but I think they're going to get the lead via Mitch Trubisky and then run the ball.
Okay.
All right. That's just my theory. And I'm not staking my life on Mitchell Trubisky. I'll be putting all DFS shares into Matthew Stafford instead. Really quickly on injuries. Well, not really quickly, because actually these are a bunch of big injuries. Patrick Mahomes is back at practice on Wednesday as we're recording this. Heath is the resident Chiefs super fan you're like analytical fan. You're a super fan, right?
I was a super fan at one point probably in my life. I thought that I was done being a fan entirely, and then Patrick Mahomes came along. And it's like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who isn't a fan of Patrick Mahomes? There's no way that Andy Reid's going to play him on Sunday night, right?
I don't think so.
No, he's not playing. He's not playing at all. It doesn't make any sense.
Would that be coaching malpractice to play him, B-Mac?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. First of all, Andy Reid is already in the wrong for the play call that led to the injury.
I disagree completely.
And I'm not saying the kneecap was occurred because of the ankle. I'm not saying that.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that if your franchise quarterback has been dealing with an ankle injury, a well-known ankle injury since week one,
yeah,
why are you calling a design run for him at any point in time? Mm-hmm.
I'm just team always sneak. Third and short, fourth and short. Just like, no, who gets hurt? Has anyone ever gotten hurt on a quarterback sneak before this?
Yes, it's football. We just don't, we don't recall it, but there's an opportunity for you to get hurt anytime you're running the football. You can get hurt at any given time. Now, we know football is a physical sport. You can be standing up, friendly fire, someone fall, on your ankle, anything like that can happen. But a guy who we all know is the franchise guy, there he. I'm not calling a quarterback sneak. I would be cautious calling a kneel down.
I'm
somebody else.
You gotta treat him as such, because if anything happens to him, your season is over. It's a wrap.
That's true.
I understand you can look at it from two sides, but I'm just looking at it because he's been hobbled, and because of that ankle injury, he's not looking like the Pat Mahomes from a year ago.
That's true.
And we know the reason why. It's not because he can't play anymore. It's not because of confidence or skill set. It's because the mobility is not there. And that's a huge part of who he is. And I think we learned a lot from Pat Mahomes seeing him play through this injury, because he's not the same guy if he's not mobile. Mm.
I agree with BMAC. I think sneaking is great. I want answers from Philip Rivers as to why he won't sneak
and why they
run Melvin Gordon for 0 yards against the Titans. And I bet on the Titans, so I'm happy it happened. But still, come on, it's ridiculous.
Will's voice and tone when anything Chargers related comes up now. I mean, he is a scorned lover.
I really am. Like I'm just over this team. But I agree with BMAC. Like, you don't sneak Mahomes there because he's already hurt. Like, he's laying down and somebody falls on his already busted ankle, and then it's like, and then it's a high ankle sprain. He's out for 4 weeks. I just didn't like the move. I agree. I do not think he will play.
That's how high ankle sprains work. You're laying on the ground and somebody falls on it.
If he's already injured though, if you're already dealing with an ankle injury, and someone falls on, because think about this.
Well, it could make it hurt more right then, but it's not going to like sprain it more.
No, it's almost like starting the rehab process all the way over again from square one. Remember last week before last Thursday night's game, someone stepped on his ankle. And then he just was limping Linda.
Yeah. Limping Linda. I would just be cautious about trying to bring him back too soon. You have a big lead in that division. You have a matchup against the Patriots coming up after the bye. The rest of the division sucks. Obviously, the Chargers suck. That was purposely intense there. The Raiders are not. The Raiders could surprise some people this week. But anyway, the point being, Mahomes should not come back. If you're thinking about playing Mahomes, find somebody else. Maybe it's a late game and you wait and see what happens. But find somebody else and make sure you have an option there. I don't think I would play Matt Ryan either, personally. Even though the matchup's not bad, I just think it's a dangerous spot for them. I believe Will Fuller already ruled out.
For like the next month.
Yeah. You miss your one game from Will Fuller. He gives you that every year in fantasy. He gave us the one game, and I told you the story about my Will Fuller.
You did. You didn't even get that one game.
I would have been undefeated too.
Heath, I feel like there's a good chance you have some split stats related to Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins and Kiki Kuti and maybe Kenny Stills. Is there a decent chance that there's an Will Fuller in versus Will Fuller out split for DeAndre Hopkins?
There is one. I do not have it, and I feel really bad now. I think you guys start talking about me like you talk about the Chargers now.
No. I
apologize.
But no. But okay, give the anecdote. Like, I don't know the stat either, but anecdotally, I do believe that when Will Fuller is out, DeAndre Hopkins is huge.
DeAndre Hopkins is much better without Will Fuller.
Yep.
We don't know. The one thing we don't know.
Why?
And, well, because he gets like 40% of the targets.
Yeah.
They just throw everything to him.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson has not been as good without Will Fuller, anecdotally. Hmm. One thing that's interesting, though, is we've not seen – they have the backup plan now, Kenny Stills.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you about Kenny Stills. Like,
they at some point this season have now had two of either Fuller, Stills, or QT healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And they will again this week. So I'm not sure what's happened the past 2 years is as relevant, but I do like Hopkins as the top five wide receiver this week.
And maybe Kenny Stills is a DFS option. We'll talk about that after the break. Kerryon Johnson placed on IR. Mm. It's an unfortunate – I think this is like one of the toughest things you can have to do in fantasy football, and it's why you need to soak in advice from our experts on like fantasy football today. But like – Ty Johnson, if you had the top waiver claim, you had to decide, do I want to get Ty Johnson or not? I personally didn't want to get him in any leagues. Is that weird that I just didn't want him? I was hoping he wouldn't fall to me on the waiver claim.
Why don't you want him?
Because I don't think he's going to do much. I think there's a chance they sign somebody like Jay Ajayi or trade for somebody like Kenyon Drake, and then you're going to end up burning that waiver claim. It's not going to be worth it. I would rather, and I think they pass a bunch. I think it's going to be a Matthew Stafford dance party this week.
You don't have to. You could just like not make a claim for him.
Exactly.
No, I know, but that's like that's a tough choice you have to make, right?
No, it sounds like you already made your choice.
Well, I did, but I'm saying like a lot of people, he got claimed in every league I'm in by the person with a top waiver claim.
Oh, he went for like 30 to 40% of fab in most of the leagues right. I was in. There was one league where I was am completely desperate at running back this week.
Did you do?
I bid 20% and I didn't get him. Mm-hmm. Right. Most of my leagues, I made a 5 to 10% bid. Not because I agree almost entirely with you, Will. I don't think Ty Johnson is a special running back. I think this is a terrible situation. Kerryon Johnson last year averaged better than 5 yards per carry. This year he's at 3.3 behind this line. They are going to throw the ball more, in my opinion. And the other, like, even if they don't add anyone else, J.D. McKissic has just flat out been better than Ty Johnson on the touches they've received so far this year. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be pretty cool. Like, I was the Wayne Gallman guy for the week that he had the job by himself. Yep. And that worked because he had the job by himself. And the Giants actually had a good offensive line then. I don't know that Ty Johnson has either of those things going for him. But I did try to add him to my bench just because we're wrong a lot.
Sure.
He's a chance to be a starting running back. So
yeah, starting running back who plays plays the Bears twice and the Vikings once over the next 5 weeks. Good for you.
Just don't blow your fab on him.
Yeah. Don't, or as, Debo, I need to know whether I can get approval to play Jamie's quote on the podcast.
Speaking of running backs, what do you guys think about Chase Edmonds?
He's special. He's really good. And I saw somebody float the idea. I can't remember who it was. So I would credit him, but they were like, what if David Johnson's getting traded?
Yeah.
I don't think that's happening. I'm going to play it anyway just because, I don't care. I don't care what Debo thinks. I teased it on the podcast.
Not even listening to you right now.
Well, perfect. I teased it on the podcast with Brady. And this is a completely out of context quote from Jamie Eisenberg on Fantasy Football Today on Tuesday during the waiver show. Ready? Here it is.
Those guys you can blow your wad on.
That's the out of context quote from Jamie Eisenberg. He's telling you how to spend your fab advice. I'm just clipping it and putting it on out of context in here.
That's fantastic.
I was out running around the lake with my dog, the lake near our house. I stopped, made my dog stop, and I did a screen recording where I grabbed the audio of it because I fell over laughing while running. Good job by you, Jamie. Anyway, Chase Edmonds is special. I think he's a really good running back. He is explosive. He's great. He fits perfectly in Cliff Kingsbury's offense. He has, I think, as many like 20-yard touchdown runs as David Johnson has, like in last week.
He has better average also right now this season, better average than.
Oh, he looked much better than Johnson has looked. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to put too much into that. But I do think as long as David Johnson's out, you're starting Chase Edmonds.
For sure.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah. But and the showing against the Giants. Yes, the Giants' defense is bad, but it's still a bright sign for Edmonds.
Yes.
And Cliff Kingsbury has some real nice things to say about him. What are your thoughts about DK Metcalf this week against the lonely Falcons secondary?
Rich man's version of Devontae Parker and Preston Williams is what I would like. He could.
It's the Falcons.
He could catch two long touchdown passes. I think he could also get like three targets and have one of those passes bounce off his hands. And,
yes.
We've seen the Seahawks throw the ball a lot more this year than what I expected them to do. If the Falcons are starting Matt Schaub, this might be one of those 18 pass attempt games for Russell Wilson. So I think he's a boom bust flex, boom bust number three wide receiver for Metcalf. I don't dislike him, but you can't really count on how many targets he's going to get. Yeah.
What do you think about Alvin Kamara?
I mean, right now he's slated to give some real nice production. If he is healthy, that's the thing. And I picked up Latavius Murray because in one of my leagues, I have lights Kamara action. And, you know, not knowing exactly what his status was, picked up Latavius Murray. And, man, talk about big-time production. Whoa, he brought me to victory.
So, well, the key there is he didn't have to share with anybody.
Exactly.
I expect Kamara is going to come back this week. And as long as he does.
To what extent, though? That's the thing.
If he's playing for the Saints, he's playing for my fantasy team.
Absolutely. If he's clear to play, you're saying put him in.
He's in.
Gotcha. Say no more.
And I would anticipate, though, that if the Saints can get a hefty lead, then you will see plenty of Latavius Murray. Saints are one of those teams out there that might need to hire a new running back. And sometimes, guys, hiring can be a slow process. Cafe Altura COO Dylan Miskowitz needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he's having trouble finding qualified applicants. So he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes? Try ZipRecruiter for free at our custom web address, ZipRecruiter.com/pick. That's ZipRecruiter.com/PICK, ZipRecruiter.com/pick. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Okay, we're going to get to some Facebook group questions with BMAC before BMAC does the Prisco and disappears for the second half of the show. That's what Pete does. He leaves the studio, slams down his headphones, screams, "I'm tired of the B-Box. I don't do B-Box. Nobody works harder than me on the face of this network. No one works harder." He screams all that, and then he storms off. But you don't have to do that, B-Mac.
I won't.
Good. You can go to Facebook.com, search Pick Six Podcast. That's where our private Facebook group is. We had a chat with Ryan Wilson. He texted our group thread and was like, how do you, do an AMA? Breach is going to do a gambling thing. I'll jump in and do lineup questions and try to come through throughout the week. Let's get it first, though. Kirk Cousins. This is from Rodrigo Munez. Kirk Cousins versus the Redskins or Jared Goff versus the Bengals? Heath?
I prefer Jared Goff. I just worry about how many passes Cousins going to throw.
Wow.
I'm right there with Heath. I have Kirk Cousins. You know, I mentioned it early, but I think Sean McVay and his offense is getting ready to really ramp up. And it's a big time matchup for the Rams at home against the Bengals.
It's actually in London. It looks like it's at home, but it is in London.
Okay.
But no, it's okay. I'm just making sure that people know that. I think it's the 1 o'clock game. I'm going to tell you something.
I think we'll be playing anywhere. Egypt, it doesn't matter. And Goff is going to really light them up.
I got a feeling for this week, and I'm plugging this guy in DFS in GPPs. Daryl Henderson. It's the Daryl Henderson week.
Okay.
Just so you know, it's coming.
I got a feeling.
Chase Savage wants to know, is it time to deal or drop David Montgomery?
Drop. I don't think you can get anything for him.
You don't think you can get anything for him right now. I would not trade him. I don't want to drop him. I gave that stat earlier about the Bears and wins and how run heavy they've been, and I think he could be okay this week.
Mm. I think the best advice I would say is it depends on what's available, right? I don't think you can get anything for him as far as quality trade value. And what's on the streets? If there is anything else out there on the streets, then make a move. But if not, I mean, Montgomery, man, I don't know where he is confidence-wise. And that's the biggest concern with these young players, especially running backs. Young rookie running backs that fumble the ball and not doing their right assignment, running the football pass pro, never know where they are confidence-wise.
I think that David Montgomery, because he's at the Packers in week 15 and gets the Chiefs at home in week 16, two teams that you can theoretically run on, would not be a terrible target if you are a team with a good record and think you're going to make the postseason. He's dropped, or maybe you can go get him for nothing because he won't cost anything. Speaking of running backs, BMAC, Joseph Harmon wants to know, full PPR, Devin Singletary or Jamal Williams this week?
Jamal. Right now, the Packers' offense is extremely hot. And anything you can get that's involved in that offense, get.
I'll go Jamal, too. It's a great matchup against the Chiefs.
Indeed it is. All right, David Roberts, so he was offered to give Keenan Allen for Davante Adams. Who would you rather have rest of season?
Adams.
I don't know when he's coming back.
I know.
I'm going to go with Keenan Allen. I know you're taking Davante Adams.
You think I'm taking Davante? Oh, just because I hate the Chargers? No, I'll take the healthy guy. I'll take the healthy guy with no defense who has to pass a lot and no run game. Also, this is a good one. This is actually a dilemma I've got, but this is not my question. Jeremy Barnett wants to know, Josh Allen or Matthew Stafford this week? I think it's easy.
That's easy, Matthew Stafford.
It's Stafford. It's not close. I'm going to be curious. Like, Josh Allen has a fantastic matchup for a quarterback that could throw.
He can't throw.
Let's see if he can take advantage of it.
He didn't do much of anything against the Bills, which is very disappointing. I mean, against the Dolphins, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. I speaking of Josh Allen, I did a Twitter poll today that made some people mad. And so I want to see it before BMAC goes. If you're Gardner Minshew or Daniel Jones for the rest of their careers?
Daniel Jones.
All right.
Wow.
You're on the minority side?
Rest of their careers, yes.
Okay.
Because eventually Gardner Minshew is going to the bench.
We'll go to a break, and then Heath and I will talk about Gardner Minshew and Nick Foles and maybe even Drew Brees and Teddy Bridgewater after the break.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Should you ever set foot outside of the moat, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Okay, so BMAC is gone. Heath and I are going to get to some DFS, but very quickly, Heath, some breaking news here. Steve Wyche just tweeted out, Steve Wyche from the NFL Network, says he talked to Drew Brees and asked about playing against Arizona on Sunday. Drew Brees says, quote, "That's the plan." Wow. I did not see that coming. I am sort of shocked by that. Are you surprised that Drew Brees would consider coming back this early?
I knew that Drew Brees had said that he wanted to come back this early. I'm not certain. I did not expect him to be allowed to.
Their bye is next week, and then they have a hobbled, sad, desperate Falcons team the week after that. Why would you not give him two more weeks to get a rhythm going and say, hey, listen, Teddy's been great. We're undefeated. He got us to the bye. Do you think that Drew Brees is maybe pressing because people are talking about the possibility of him not playing again because Teddy Bridgewater's there?
I suppose that could be what happened. Hmm. I don't understand why they would do this at all. It doesn't make any sense to me.
None.
But I suppose if Drew Brees wants to play, Drew Brees gets to play.
Obviously, if Drew Brees is a free agent, you would pick him up?
Yeah. Yeah, you should.
Okay. It's just, I'm not going to.
And if he starts this week, I had Teddy Bridgewater as the top 12 quarterback.
Mm. I'm not going to spend the rest of the podcast searching through my leagues to see if Drew Brees is owned. You're going to do that. The Jaguars also, I believe, said that week 11 is the target for Nick Foles. Why are the Jaguars trying to kill our mustachio dreams, Heath?
Well, I think it's a big 2 weeks for Gardner Minshew.
Mm.
I believe that what he has shown so far this year should give the Jaguars enough hope that he could turn into a good NFL quarterback that I would let him keep going if he wins the next two games. But I don't know if they will.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of those things where a lot of times you can follow the money. Gardner Minshew cost them nothing. He is on a rookie contract for several more years. Nick Foles, they paid a lot of money to. And the idea that a team that is 3-4 and potentially, 4-5 would just let Nick Foles sit on the bench would be kind of weird. So I understand the concept behind it. And they want to see what Foles has. Like you bring Foles, like you let Foles play, and if they don't win more games, then you say, hey, Nick, this is real. We're out of here. Right. I mean, after the season, I guess that's the move. I don't know. Or do you try to trade Nick Foles?
But like if they win this week against the Jets, then they're 4-4, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then Minshew would get one more start against Houston.
Mm-hmm.
They could be 5-4 and in the playoff race with Minshew playing excellent football, and you just go back to Foles?
Yeah, and it's weird too because like you can't cut him even after next year. They would have a 21.375 dead cap in 2020 if they cut him after June 1st. So
think of all the money they're making on Minshew mustaches.
Indeed. Indeed.
Like, you're going to throw that out the window?
I know. And they're marketing with the ticket sales? I don't know. Maybe they're sort of trying to dangle a carrot in front of Gardner Minshew's face. Who knows? Okay, let's talk DFS. Your top quarterback this week. We mentioned it. Did we mention? Oh, okay. We didn't mention this. BMAC asked it after he left. We didn't mention it on the podcast. But very quick, like, if you had Aaron Rodgers, who has been screwing your team all week, I've been complaining about him all season long, been screwing my team. He finally blows up for 50 points, but then you pick up Matthew Stafford because you're thinking maybe I need a quarterback for my bye week. Are you starting Matthew Stafford over Aaron Rodgers?
This comes back to the question of the fantasy manager himself and what is going to upset him the most after this week. For me personally, I just start the guy that I have projected to score the most fantasy points, and I will feel dumb if I start someone else because they scored 50 points last week. So I would start Matthew Stafford over Aaron Rodgers this week. They are both top seven quarterbacks for me. It would be uncomfortable to bench either one. My tiebreaker is, who do I have projected to score more points?
So it's worth noting that what would make you the most mad as a fantasy owner is if you bench the guy you projected to score more points, and then he actually did score more points. Like, that's why you would be mad, like, right?
Yes, I would be very upset with myself. Like, yeah. You do this for a living. You spend 24 hours a week building these projections, and then you just didn't listen to them because the guy scored more points last week?
24 hours of your week going to just projections?
Maybe that's a little high, but it's not.
I don't think that's that high.
It's probably not that far.
Wow. You, Jamie, and Dave have him, Matthew Stafford, consensus number three quarterback. I have no problem with it. I mean, they're playing a team in the Giants that has a miserable secondary. They just lost their starting running back to IR. They're running with Ty Johnson. The Giants should be able to score some. They just traded Quandre Diggs. I think Daniel Jones will get a few points. This has the potential to turn into a shootout. And, you know, if Matthew Stafford puts up a 50 bomb on your bench and Aaron Rodgers gives you a 25, you're going to be pretty ticked off, right?
Yep.
All right. And by the way, Matthew Stafford, your top fantasy quarterback in DFS, I'm in lockstep with you.
Yeah, he did see a price increase, but still at $7,700 on FanDuel and cheaper on DraftKings, of course. He is my highest point per dollar player. He'll probably be the chalk in cash games, as he should be. And you don't have to worry about Stafford versus Rodgers in that format because Rodgers is on Sunday night. I'm going to play a lot of Stafford against the Giants.
Okay, so I was actually, as I was doing my, I always do this when I do my picks on Tuesday night, as I'm putting them together, some, you know, you start to see little opportunities for guys to have big weeks. I try to put together a DFS lineup with people I like. I put together a lineup that involves Matthew Stafford and Kenny Galladay. Is that the stack you'd go with, or would you do something else?
If I was going to stack them, that is, yes. Okay. I will have, like, I'm going to have Stafford Galladay, Stafford Jones, Stafford Galladay Jones, Stafford Galladay Hawkinson. Like, all of the combinations I can get with Matthew Stafford this week. I may even have a Stafford McKissick lineup.
What about Stafford Hawkinson?
Yes. Okay. Well, I probably wouldn't go Stafford Hawkinson without Galladay or Jones.
Just because you don't want to be left out in
right.
case.
Yeah, but, gotcha. But yeah, I will, I'll have a lot of those guys.
All right. Your top contrarian play. I feel like this is cut and paste from, the past 10 weeks or 7 weeks or whatever it is. Gardner Minshew.
It is Gardner Minshew. I think he got, like, he was okay last week in terms of fantasy production and per dollar, but he got unlucky that he didn't have a monster game. He had over 300 yards of total offense. Somehow they only got into the end zone once. This Jets defense has allowed the eighth fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks, but I just think that's almost entirely fluky. Like last week, Tom Brady should have had two more touchdown passes. James White fell down on one of them and stepped out of bounds. I'm not that worried about how good the defense is, and I think Minshew should have another solid day. He's still too cheap.
Okay. Do you think that Sam Darnold qualifies as a contrarian play?
I actually got a text from one of my buddies during the game on Monday Night Football. Sam Darnold's going to be such a great play next week.
I agree. Now, the toenail thing worries me.
The ghost thing worries me.
Nah.
Like, this whole Belichick fooling Sam Darnold and embarrassing him on national television thing, I don't 100% believe that that's just a one-week effect from that.
Maybe, when
Ryan Leaf was broken as a quarterback at Arrowhead because of the national embarrassment that he was for that. Like, I'm a little concerned about Sam Darnold's confidence,
fair enough,
his trust in the system, but yes, if you're looking, and I don't know what his upside is against Jacksonville, but if you're looking for a contrarian play, yes, he would qualify for sure.
Yeah. I'm doing a Pats are the Pats the greatest defense of all time piece right now. And we were supposed to talk about this in the first half of the show. Debo and I planned the whole thing out, and then I derailed it with NBA talk and something else. I looked up, I basically took through seven games what the combined quarterback statistics were for everyone that the Patriots have faced through 7 weeks. It is a less efficient version of 2002 Joey Harrington.
That's really bad.
Yeah. It's also a slightly more volume, but it's more volume, but less efficient version of 2009 Jamarcus Russell.
Those names.
And the other name that popped into comp is 2011 Blaine Gabbert. That's what the Patriots are doing to all these quarterbacks. I'm like, one guy's a Hall of Famer. One guy's at least a veteran in Ryan Fitzpatrick. You got multiple first round picks in Darnold, Daniel Jones, and Josh Allen. I get that they're all young guys. I just think that what I'd be curious about, I might go look at after the podcast is, what did these guys do the week after they played Belichick? Because Ben Roethlisberger called quits for the year. I'm out. I'm done. I suck at football now. Do you think that are the Patriots the fantasy MVP so far this year?
Yeah, they are. And you know what I'm going to say.
That's dumb.
That they're not going to be this good the rest of the season.
Well, they won't be. I mean, they're going to, but I will say this. They only have one. I don't think they have the only quarterback they have is over 26 left is like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, but they face Patrick Mahomes.
For sure. And Deshaun Watson. And Dak Prescott. And Lamar Jackson. And look, they can't play man coverage back there. And, you know, do you think they're worth paying for in DFS every week?
Most weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially on DraftKings.
Okay.
The difference in pricing isn't as great.
Your top running back play, Latavius Murray.
As long as, like, Alvin Kamara, I just looked, did not practice today, and on Wednesday. And so if he comes back and he's definitely going to play, obviously that's out the window. But Murray's still only priced at 6,200 on FanDuel. His price didn't go up enough on DraftKings. If Kamara's out, you don't even think about it. He's the chalk, and he's just like the free space, and we'll try to beat everybody else with the rest of our players.
Okay. What about a contrarian play?
I'm going to go with Philip Lindsay, and I think we'll get this opportunity multiple times with both Denver backs and both Packers backs. This is going to be a committee. Mm-hmm. There's going to be weeks where both backs are good. There's going to be weeks where one guy gets hot and scores both the touchdowns or scores one of the touchdowns and the other one doesn't. But I don't think Philip Lindsay like lost his place in the Denver offense. No. This is not a particularly bad matchup against the Indianapolis Colts. I still think he gets 15 to 18 touches, and I kind of like him on the fast track in Indianapolis, his chances of breaking a long one. And I don't think anybody's going
to
play him.
I kind of like the Broncos to win the game.
Ooh.
I think you'll see everybody's going to be on the Colts. No one wants the Broncos. Denver can run the ball. They got a decent passing defense. It's not a great matchup for Indy, if you think about it.
And you're kind of a Broncos fan now, right?
No, I hate the Broncos too. I hate everybody in that stupid division. I hate the Carr family. I don't hate the Carr family. But like, I don't care for the Raiders because of the Cars. I hate the Broncos because they're making me look like a dumbass in front of the entire country for picking them to win the division, even though it really all laid out for them to actually win the division and they screwed it up. And I hate the Chargers, as we've detailed. I don't hate the Chiefs, but I picked the Chiefs to be in the Super Bowl last year, and I've been against them several years in a row now, and the Chiefs fans are very mean to me about it. So I just hate the AFC West as a whole. I hate it. I hate the whole division.
I like it.
Right. Top wide receiver play. I was actually surprised by this. You have Michael Thomas, even though Patrick Peterson is back.
I don't think it matters. Like, you want to put Patrick Peterson and a double team on Michael Thomas? Then maybe.
Yeah.
But we're talking about a guy that has like 30 more receptions than any other wide receiver since the start of 2017. He's played some difficult matchups already this year. You can't guard Mike. It's right there in his Twitter handle. He's going to get double digit targets.
Yep.
He's going to be around 90 yards. You just hope he gets into the end zone.
He has 11 more receptions this season than anybody else. He has quietly ascended to the top ranking of the wide receivers in the entire
He is number one.
He has the most. Good Lord, he has 100 more yards than Chris Godwin. This kind of happened out of nowhere, and it's
Chris Godwin's had his bye.
True, right? but like
or has he?
Yes, because he was in London. Yes. And Michael Thomas has his next week. But in Michael Thomas lost his quarterback.
Right.
Okay. Interesting. The who's your contrarian wide receiver? DJ.
No, it's Tyler Boyd.
Oh boy.
And
hi, my name's Heath, and I can't quit picking the Bengals.
I can't quit picking. Like, he got 14 targets last week. I understand that he was bad 2 weeks in a row, but we're talking about a guy who still averaged right around 8 yards per target over his career. Even this year, he's at 7 yards per target. He's averaging more than 10 targets per game. That's pretty easy math.
Yeah.
You should expect 70 yards. I'm getting choked up here. You should expect 70 yards on a weekly basis from Tyler Boyd, and he's like $5,000. He might even score a touchdown.
I was looking at, he has the third most targets in all of football right now amongst wide receivers. He is 14th in terms of, in terms of fantasy points. I'm just looking at like one of our fantasy football today league. He basically has the same amount of points as Will Fuller, who had one huge game and that's it. He has less points than Terry McLaurin, who plays for the Redskins, and less points than Marvin Jones, who had one monster.
I'm just going to keep betting on the targets.
The targets have to work out eventually, right?
At least I didn't say Larry Fitzgerald, right?
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I mean, it's fine. Top tight end play, Hunter Henry. I'm with you here. I put Hunter Henry in my my little Tuesday lineup too. I think he's going to be the number one tight end the rest of the way.
I think he could be the number one tight end the rest of the way. They can't protect Phillip Rivers, and teams are taking away Keenan Allen.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the Hunter Henry and Austin Eckler show. And if you look, I mean, Hunter Henry's basically played two full seasons now in terms of games, and he's got like 15 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And
he's a stud. He's a stud if he stays healthy.
Yep. Doesn't have fewer than 60 yards in a game this year.
What are you doing about Melvin Gordon, if you own Melvin Gordon?
I feel about Melvin Gordon like you do about the Chargers. Remember 3 years ago when I called Melvin Gordon the ultimate sell high, and then he went on to be like a top five
That's
running
right.
back?
I forgot about it. It was all like touchdown. It was all touchdown dependent too. He wasn't even that great.
And it turns out I was right now.
Yeah.
3 years later. Yeah. I think the Chargers have a real problem.
They've ruined their game plan. They had an awesome offense the first few weeks of the season when he wasn't there, but they were just winging it around to Eckler, and then they brought Melvin Gordon came back, and they just funnel everything through him. It's humiliating. Your tight end contrarian play, my guy. I love this guy, Jonnu Smith. I'm dead serious. I love Jonnu Smith.
Chris Towers loves him too because Jonnu Smith went to FIU.
Oh.
60 yards last week. He ran, I think, only 20 pass routes. Delanie Walker has an ankle injury. As long as Delanie Walker doesn't suit up, Tampa Bay Buccaneers are giving up the second most points to opposing tight ends. And basically any cheap tight end is contrarian because there are like four good tight ends and everybody just plays them.
In our office league, 2016 office league, I had to get replacement for Mark Andrews bye week. And I put Jonnu Smith ahead of Fabian Moreau. Was that bold?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think it was the right call. Now, if Delanie Walker practices on Thursday, I may change my mind.
For sure. And I tried to make a trade with Jeff Kurtula and Adam London. And it's always weird, like, trading with your bosses. Do you find that weird, like, trading with somebody who can, like, has hiring, firing power over you?
Well, like, what's the best possible outcome here?
That, the worst outcome is I screw their season over and
exactly.
I can't ruin it. Right.
So your season up. You screw their season up or the trade's inconsequential. I think you just close the window and don't even make the offer.
Yeah, I made the offer and I was like, I don't think I want to trade with them.
And,
and then they came back and made me a terrible offer where like a tight end for my team quarterback, Raiders team quarterback.
Right.
And I was like, I can't, I was like, you guys have Kyler Murray, like the Cardinals quarterback. I can't trade you my Derek Carr / Mike Glennon. Cause then all I got left is Joe Flacco / Drew Locke. And I'm trying to win this league. And yet now I feel a little compelled. And so.
You feel like they've made you an offer you can't refuse literally.
Yeah. It felt that way. Yeah. I think the initial offer is like Dawson Knox for the Raiders team quarterback. I was like, what? That's not fair.
Right.
I did not in any way feel intimidated.
It sounds like a fair offer to me. And I don't know why you didn't take it.
All right, Heath, any beer, that you tried? I haven't had any beer in a week.
Like you've literally had no beer?
Just bourbon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was almost worried about you.
No, yeah.
I think this is the second week in a row. I'm going to have to change this by next week. I think this is the second week in a row where I did not have. I'm just checking right now. Untapped is the only way I can remember what I've drank in last week.
Yeah.
Is that a problem?
Probably.
Okay.
But I'm this, like, I want to say I haven't had any beer. I probably had like a beer or two, but I haven't had any like beer that I was dying to drink.
It wasn't necessarily new. I'm sure you've definitely had it, but it was good. And it's another Terrapin beer. I think last time I was, talking about Terrapin, Liquid Bliss.
Oh yeah, the peanut butter chocolate porter.
Very good dessert.
Very beer. Good dessert beer. Very good. It is. It tastes like a peanut butter pie.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a very good dessert beer. All right. You know, I like crack. Maybe I'll take down to that. I'm going to South Carolina beaches. Maybe I'll grab some Westbrook and bring it back and try that. Also, I got a couple boxes from BrewDog, so pretty excited to check that out.
That's exciting for you.
Yeah, it is exciting for me. Hopefully it's exciting for you. Hopefully we'll talk about it next week.
BrewDog is outstanding.
Maybe we'll go through some BrewDog breakdowns next week. Heath, always a pleasure, buddy. Devo, you did a great job. I don't know why I'm talking to you there in the room. See you next week, man.
Later. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig what's coming?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.